Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. We are here with this program for the next hour and 25 minutes. I'm Tim Wildman, as the announcer just told you, and Walker Wildman is on my left here. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Looking at your radio left to right, and Walker's on my left. It's Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
On the right.
Fred's far
Fred,
right.
Fred, he's on the far right.
I'm on the far right. He's on the, you can't go any further right.
Is Ray on? No, not yet. Ray Pritchard will be on with us soon, but he's having technical issues beyond his control or ours. Ray's our host in Dallas. He's our correspondent in Dallas, so he'll be on with us soon.
You really can watch the show, though, just not on the radio.
Yeah. If you listen to football games on the radio, sometimes they'll say, if you're looking at your radio from left to right, the Bulldogs or the Rebels or the Tigers are moving down the field. You'll hear these announcers say that, and I'm going, really?
Yeah.
Really? You think people are looking at their radio going, tell me which way to look. Tell me which way. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my word. All right, Walker, what are we doing on our Facebook page today?
Well, we're live streaming, so if you do want to watch the show and see the host here, you can go to Today's Issues on Facebook. Also, all the news stories will be posted there, so many of you go there each day. Several of our news stories get thousands of views by our listeners, so they go and click on the story and read what we talk about. And lastly, you can visit AFR.net. If you're not on Facebook, you can visit AFR.net on the World Wide Web and listen to the show.
Is it still called the World Wide Web?
People don't say that often, but it is still the World Wide Web, though.
But you don't have to use www anymore, right?
I don't think so. No, you don't.
It's
old-fashioned. It shows up though in the web address. Most people just call it the internet. What Al Gore created.
Right, Al Gore created. I'm impressed you know that, being as young as you are.
I've heard it plenty of times.
Al Gore invented it before you were even born.
Yeah.
Didn't he, Fred?
If you listen to Al Gore, yes.
By the way, has the planet melted yet? Remember, the Arctic was supposed to melt in 5 years, 10 years ago, according to Al Gore.
I drove in this morning. It was okay.
No water?
No.
You didn't see any water
in
the ocean rising?
No.
Okay. Anyway.
My mom lives on the ocean up in Nova Scotia. Everything's okay.
Everything's okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, polar ice caps are going to melt. remember he said that? He did.
I keep warning mom every day. I talk to her on the telephone. I say, watch out for those polar ice caps.
According to Al Gore, they're supposed to have already melted.
That's right.
All right. Ray, did you get your technical problems fixed?
Yeah. I was. While you guys were starting the program, I was on my hands and knees pulling cord. Can you get a kink in an internet cord?
I think you can.
I think maybe that's what I found.
You don't have people that can do that for you there?
Yes, I have people. I am my people.
Ray's his own producer.
Brent, our producer here in the studio, was telling me Ray's fixing his technical problems. So you were physically down on your knees.
I was down on my hands and knees.
All right. Well, it helps to be able to drive the car and fix it, right?
That's right.
All right. Hey, listen, before we get into the news of the day, by the way, Dr. Frank Turek will be with us. Sandy Rios will be with us this hour. So if you don't care for what Tim, Ray, Walker, and Fred have to say, if you'll hang on, you will have another voice. So surely out of five, you'll appreciate what somebody says here on the program. But listen, folks, you've been hearing about this on American Family Radio, but I want to emphasize it, and that is our Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands that we have available this year. They are wonderful. I mean, they really are. They're very attractive. I'm opening one of the bags right now and pulling out one here on American Family Radio. You need, if you've heard about these on AFR and you haven't ordered, you need to get you some of these. I want to play a clip from President Trump at the Values Voters Summit a few weeks ago in Washington, D.C., which we helped sponsor. AFA helped sponsor, AFA Action helped sponsor, and the president came and spoke, as he has the last 3 years, but when he was a candidate, and now as president. And that's unusual, quite frankly, because usually politicians want to use Christians, or any other groups, too. A lot of groups get used during an election cycle, but they want to use us and woo us with flattery. And then when they get the vote and they get into office, then they don't have time for you anymore. You ever been treated that way? Fred, you've been treated that way before? You know what I'm saying? Well, President Trump, to his credit, he came the last 2 years to the Values Voters Summit, and now he's been elected, and he came anyway in November. October.
Yeah.
You were there, weren't you, Walker?
Yes, sir.
You heard the president speak?
Yep, the president was there, and he said... Specifically along the lines of what you're talking about, he said, look, guys, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, I've been here the last 2 years during the election cycle, and I told you I'd come back, and I still came back, even though I don't need your vote, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah. I want to play, so that event that you were at, you were in the room when he spoke and said these words we're about to hear?
Yes.
I want to play a one-minute clip from what he said, and then I want to talk about our Christmas wristbands. Go ahead.
We are stopping cold the attacks on Judeo-Christian values. And something I said so much during the last 2 years, but I'll say it again, as we approach the end of the year, you know, we're getting near that beautiful Christmas season that people don't talk about anymore. They don't use the word Christmas because it's not politically correct. You go to department stores and they'll say Happy New Year and they'll say other things and it'll be red, they'll have it painted, but they don't say, well, guess what? We're saying Merry Christmas again.
By the way, that was the president at the Values Voters Summit. Mm-hmm. But by the way, I saw the video from the White House this morning. It's making its way around the internet.
Beautiful.
Christmas at the White House and with Melania.
Melania. It's just gorgeous.
First lady. Did you see that, Ray?
Gorgeous. Yeah, I did.
Hey, can you put that on our Facebook page, Walker?
Gorgeous video.
It is, and it includes a nativity scene.
That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It includes a nativity scene. Walker's going to put that on our Today's Issues Facebook page. That's the video from the White House. It's the official White House video about celebrating Christmas.
That's right.
So anyway, what you need to do, folks, you need to order these Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands, which I have. If you're watching on our Facebook live stream, I'm holding one up right now. You need to call and order you a bag of these and hand them out to everybody you know. And let's see, if you go to afastore.net, here's how you order these. You can order 20 of them for, how much are they?
$15 for 20.
Huh?
$20 for 10 and 15 for 20. They come in packs of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get a pack of 10 for 20 bucks, for 15 bucks.
Yeah, one pack of 10 for $20.
Okay.
Two packs of 10, which will be 20 for $15. Put it this way.
The more you order, the better price you get.
That's right.
Like anything else. So, I mean, you get 10 of these, and they are a great witness tool to share your faith with others during the Christmas season. And a lot of people will say, where'd you get that? And then you can hand them yours. That happens all the time as well. So go to afastore.net right now. Do as you're told, and go order these wristbands. You can order, as Walker said, two bags of 10 with 20 for $15. I mean, that you can't beat that price. So
right.
Go to the website, afastore.net, afastore.net, afastore.net. Now, if you just want to pick up the phone and call and order, here's the phone number, 877-927-4917. 877-927-4917. That rings our store, right?
That's right. You will talk to a person here in Tupelo, Mississippi.
If it rings anymore, I don't know what you call it now. But that rings our offices here in Tupelo, and we'll get those wristbands out to you today. 877-927-4917. Or if you want to look at them online, afastore.net, afastore.net, and buy them that way. But you really need to we went to a lot of trouble.
Yes.
To create this and print and get these made and everything. And people are buying them by the thousands, but you need to take advantage of this, folks.
I need to correct my statement because I'm going to get calls saying, Walker said that they're priced at this amount, and then we're going to have to give away a bunch of wristbands. So let me correct myself. It sometimes gets confusing, the quantities, when you order in bulk. So one pack of 10 is $20. Two packs of 10, which will be 20 wristbands, is $30. And then and as you go up, the more packs you order, the cheaper it is per pack.
Right. What if I order 10,000 packs?
Well, we'll give you a special deal.
You will?
Yes, but okay. My math's not that good that quick.
Will you figure that up?
Yeah, give me about an hour.
Okay,
and then I will.
All right.
Did you say 10,000?
10,000. Hey, listen, we don't have time. Fred's got the news all over here, but we got to introduce Frank. Fred, you've been patiently
sitting. Frank's been away for a while, so we better bring him in here.
Dr. Frank Turek joins us from North Carolina. Good morning, Frank.
What is it, news that I'm on the show now?
Yeah, you went to Alaska for a couple of weeks, didn't you?
I did. I went to Alaska, and I was on last week, but you weren't on. Where were you, mister?
I was on the golf course. I was ministering to people, though.
That's right.
I have a golf ministry.
You have a golf ministry?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not very good at golf, you know?
Yeah.
Not very good at all. In fact, I had to have my ball retriever regripped.
Your ball retriever regripped. For those who don't know, that means your ball's out of bounds or in the lake or something. You have to use one of these retrievers. If you got a ball retriever in your bag, you're probably not going to make the pro tour.
It's the club I use the most.
Oh, my word.
And the last time I was taking lessons, the instructor said, "You're standing too close to the ball after you hit it."
Oh, well.
Not a good sign.
Oh, well. No. For those, for golfers, you understand, you hit a couple of good shots, you think you're going to come back and do it all again the next time. So kind of like catching a fish the last 5 minutes at the lake, after you've been there for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But so it makes you want to come back again. All right, Frank, let's talk about some things. By the way, how did your trip to Alaska go? Were you up there to teach? Or?
There's a great church up there called Anchorage Baptist Temple. And the pastor up there, Jerry Prevo, has been there since 1971.
I've heard of him.
And Jerry happens to also be the chairman of the board of Liberty University.
Is that right? Okay.
From Anchorage, Alaska.
Wow.
The guy's great. He's a great guy, great
46
preacher.
46 years in one church.
I know.
That's
and
amazing.
And he's still going strong, and he's a hunter up there. He loves to fly his own plane, and he's got a grizzly bear in his house that was once 1,600 pounds.
Wow. I thought Frank was headed for a joke here, a grizzly bear in his house.
No,
and
true.
He was going to mention a human.
No. Literally, he shot a grizzly bear that was like five times the size of him.
Oh, you mean
more than
stuffed?
That. Yeah, he's stuffed.
I thought
now.
He had it in the back room
now,
or something
like
that. You know,
it's like I shot an elephant in my pajamas.
You weren't
what he was
clear.
Doing in my pajamas, I'll never know.
We'll be here all week, folks.
Right. That's right. This serves as news. Fred, get to the news. This is getting ridiculous.
Oh, my word. Hey, well... Let me ask you, Frank, we were talking, we played earlier a clip from President Trump. Some in the news media mock the so-called war on Christmas in America today. And this all started about 15 years ago, and we started noticing it. and there really was, if you want to call it a war on Christmas, that's what we called it. But what it was a intentional effort by the popular culture, including many in the business community. And by the way, before I lay the bad out, let me just say a lot of things have reversed for the better, because I think AFA and to his credit, Bill O'Reilly and others paid some attention to this and drew some attention to this, and things have changed. We got a call just last week from Sports Academy, I think.
Academy Sports.
Academy Sports chain. And they said, hey, we just want you guys to know we're going to be including Christmas in our advertising campaign. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be ignoring Christmas.
Because they were on our naughty list as of 2 weeks ago.
So they wanted us to know they were.
Yeah, so now they're on the nice
list. We got their attention. Now they're saying that's a big chain right there.
Yeah.
But here's the reason for this was, I think, that many in the secular progressive movement, they want to do away with Christmas the word because it brings attention to the reason we celebrate.
That's right.
And that's the reason they want to move away from that. They want to go to winter solstice or holiday season. Nothing wrong with the word holiday or holiday season or happy holidays. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. But when they're doing that to intentionally get away from having to deal with the Christmas holiday, that's the reason this started. Go ahead.
Well, it actually means holy day, actually.
Holiday, yeah, yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
But, Tim, I'd just like to say to you, season's greetings.
What season are you talking about?
Yeah, well, yeah, they do want to get the Christ out of Christmas. They certainly don't want to get the commerce out of Christmas, but the Christ out of Christmas, they want that to happen, and it's just generally the idea that they want to suppress the truth about anything that deals with Christianity.
Why though?
Christ.
It used to not be that way in America, and probably That's in right. Canada, Fred, because Christmas was special in America today.
That's right.
I mean, for centuries, and it's certainly the last, it was special in our country, and people honored it, even if they weren't Christians.
You know where it started in our schools? We used to have a Christmas pageant at our public school.
In Canada.
But it's moved down here too. And then someone came along and said, well, that's offensive because we used to do the Christmas story.
Right.
Out
of the Bible.
In our public school. Right. From Luke chapter 2.
Right. Did you do that, Ray, in Alabama when you grew up?
Oh, absolutely. I can remember they would read the Christmas story over the public address system. Yeah. I mean, if somebody did that now, they'd be thrown in jail.
Well, there would be lawsuits.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there was this great concern. We're going to offend somebody if we read Luke chapter 2 at Christmas time. So we're going to get rid of that. And we're going to call it a winter festival or a winter pageant or something of that nature. But we need to get the word Christmas out of here. Mm-hmm. Started in the schools and moved over into corporate America, unfortunately.
And popular culture and entertainment and
exactly.
music and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, so you remember, you're are you 60 yet?
65.
So tell us your memories of growing up in Alabama.
Look, I can remember, even through high school years, that they would have a morning devotional on the PA system. I remember it came from the Methodist, what was that? The Upper Room.
Yeah.
Somebody would read the daily devotion and have a prayer on the public address system in high school, and nobody thought a thing of it.
Frank, the acknowledgement of Christmas is a federal holiday, for goodness sakes. And so I just think it's good for us as Christians to refocus the attention of ourselves and others on the reason for the holiday, reason for the season, as they say.
That's right.
And keep Christ in Christmas wristbands go a long way towards doing that. Ray, you mentioned, Frank, we've got about 7 minutes here. You and I were texting this morning. You wanted to talk about Romans 1 for a moment. You've been teaching on this, have you?
Well, Romans is probably my favorite book in the Bible. It's just so systematic. It lays out the problem and the solution. The problem that we all have, sin, and the solution is ultimately Christ, and we're supposed to renew our minds there. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, but in Romans chapter 1, where Paul talks about how we suppress the truth and unrighteousness to go our own way, I think that is just so prevalent all around us, including sometimes ourselves. We suppress the truth because we don't want the implications of the truth to interfere with what we want to do. We want to do our own thing. We want to suppress the truth because we don't want there to be a God. We want to be God. We want to do our own thing. And now, in the context of Romans 1, Paul is talking about the unbelievers suppressing the truth, but I think sometimes Christians suppress the truth as well. And Jesus said that men love darkness rather than light. We don't want our deeds exposed. So I think part of the war on Christmas is actually an effort to try and suppress the truth because people don't want to be reminded of the truth because they want to go their own way. They don't want to have anything to do with Christianity or the commands of Jesus. They want to be their own gods. Most people are not on a truth quest. They're on a happiness quest. And that's why they're going to suppress the truth. That's why I routinely ask people the question on college campuses, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? And on several occasions, I've had atheists yell back at me, no. And the reason they're saying no is not because they're open to the truth, quite obviously. It's because they're not open to the truth. They don't want there to be a God. They want to be God. And so you could give them all the evidence in the world. They're not interested. They want to go their own way. And I just see this everywhere now, that people are just trying to suppress the truth.
Ray, do you think that's why there seems to be such a hostility toward Christianity when there's not a hostility toward other religions?
Well, there certainly is a huge moral component in all of this. As Frank said, the problems are rarely purely academic. Usually there's something much, well, there's a sin problem. There's a rebellion against God. And Frank, I want you to say something else, because you said something I've never actually thought about before, but you commented that even we as Christians, we can suppress the truth. That's an interesting thought. Never occurred to me before. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think that we can in our daily lives. When we know that God wants us to do something and we don't want to do it, we'll suppress the truth about it. In fact, I know I was an interim pastor for a while, and I know many pastors, and I've actually heard of people coming to a pastor saying, God told me to leave my husband, yeah, or God told me, right, to leave my wife, or whatever.
I've heard that before, too.
Yeah. The will of God is never contrary to the word of God. And yet we will take our own desires and somehow justify them as being the desires of God, even when they contradict the scriptures, because we want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way.
And how, you know, I've seen that kind of thing before, where people use their feelings as their guide, and whatever makes them, you know, they'll say, well, God wants me happy. I can do what the Bible says don't do if it makes me happy, because that's what God wants. And you're scratching your head going, it didn't even make sense. But I guess we have the ability to trick our minds, huh?
When it comes and it's to not going to make us happy. It might temporarily in the short run,
right,
do that, but over the long run, it's a disaster. And everyone listening to us right now is over 40 years old, knows what we're talking about, because most of us have tried to go our own way, and it doesn't work out.
That's right.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. All right, talk about your radio show on American Family Radio coming up this weekend. Do you know who you're going to be talking to, what you're going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about season's greetings.
Really?
That's the new wristband we're putting out.
Oh, from your ministry?
Crossexamine.org, yeah.
Crossexamine's going to got a season's greetings. Well, that'll do well for you.
Yeah, good luck with
that's
that,
right,
Frank.
Yeah, right here on American Family Radio. Get your season's right greetings wristband. Well, it's just so moving. Right,
it's going to be. We're going to be talking about something exciting, Tim. I'm not exactly sure yet.
Yeah. But, oh, this is a way to say you don't have any clue what you're going to be talking
not
about.
Not yet. No,
it's
no,
early
not
in
yet.
The week.
It's early. Early in the week. It might early be something exciting. Well, it's going to be something exciting. It
okay,
always is.
Well,
Saturday, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, crossexamine.org. Check it out.
On American Family Radio.
That's right.
All right, Frank.
The entire
care
network. Season's
right
greetings, gentlemen.
See you later. Frank. All right, that's Dr. Frank Turek. We've got Sandy Rios coming up in just a few minutes here as well. Frank, what? Ray. All right, Tim, pull yourself together, son. All right, I will. Fred, what will we be talking to? What can we talk to Sandy about?
We can talk about Pocahontas.
Is that what President Trump did?
Right.
Yeah. That,
he did it.
That
did it.
Led the NBC News last night.
Right.
Trump and Pocahontas.
The world is falling apart, and they led with Pocahontas.
Also, Walker, we got this
Consumer Finance Protection Bureau,
which is a fight now between President Trump.
Yeah, it's a swamp fight, and President Trump's trying to drain the swamp, and the swamp's fighting back.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we shall return with more of Today's Issues on American Family Radio in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
When the Lord does anything, he does it big. You know, he does it husky. All right, go up and take the promised land. In fact, we're going to start with the biggest city first. I like that. I like that. I like the God we serve, because I say it all the time. When we come into salvation with Jesus Christ, he gives his best gift up front. He gives you himself.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman. Our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, as well as Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, they fill up several months in advance. So I'm letting you know now, our June and September tours are ready to sign up for. If you want to register, go to our website, spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com, and check out our June and September 2018 tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. President Trump vowed to put the Christ back into Christmas, and that's exactly what he did, delivering on a promise to end the war on Christmas. The White House unveiled its decorations the other day, a classic Christmas, with lots of red and green and gold and even a nativity. During the first year of the Obama administration, the president and first lady considered tossing the baby Jesus out of the White House. They reconsidered after pressure from staffers. The Obamas also drew criticism for what many considered to be their politically correct celebration of the season. The decorations were more about the family pets than heralding angels. There was also the infamous Obama holiday card, emblazoned with the words, "Season's Greetings." But the Trump family's card proudly proclaims Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, making Christmas in the White House great again. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of the radio program you're listening to, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. We are live video streaming, and you can comment on the show and access the news stories we're discussing on our Today's Issues Facebook page. So check that out. Walker's with me, and Fred, and Ray, and we're pleased, as always, to have you listening to the program or watching on our Facebook page. We're joined now by Sandy Rios, who's Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. And Sandy has a show, obviously, of her own each weekday morning here on American Family Radio at 7:05 Central Time to 8 o'clock. But she joins us on Tuesdays for a few minutes here if she's able to, and she is able to today. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Sandy.
Morning.
Sandy, did you see this story with Pocahontas in the news again? You laugh too. Everybody laughs when they hear that.
Everybody laughs, but like, I'm serious. NBC News, this was
what happened. Tell people who don't know, Fred, what happened.
This was just, there are many ceremonies at the White House.
Right.
And
sure.
Yesterday, President Trump, there right. was a ceremony honoring Native American war heroes.
Okay.
These are Native Americans who played a crucial role in the war. And this will shock you, but President Trump went off script at one point.
No way.
And he...
He's so stoic and
let me just read you what he said. "You were here long before any of us were here." He's speaking to these Native Americans.
Right.
These dear men.
Right.
Has he honored these...
Talking about his people, not the individuals.
No, he's honoring these three Navajo code talkers
right.
from World War II. And then he added, without naming Senator Elizabeth Warren, we, quote from the president.
Do you have this clip, by the way?
Yeah. Well, we have a clip of somebody responding to it. Yeah, this is what the president said. "We have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago. They call her Pocahontas. But you know what? I like you." End quote. All right. So what he's referring to there, remember Democrat Senator Elizabeth Warren Apparently, when she was going to law school, she put down that she was a minority. She was a Native Indian. And, of course, that has been discounted.
She's white as snow.
She has blue eyes and blonde hair, all right? So, anyway, she was roundly condemned for that, but President Trump keeps going back to that issue.
It's well, unlike him.
Yeah.
He usually moves on to...
So this became a cause celeb yesterday at the White House press briefing. They were asking questions about it, et cetera, et cetera. Sarah Sanders, who is the daughter of Governor Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, responded to all of this and said, what you should be talking about is Elizabeth Warren, who lied about being a Native American. This morning on Fox and Friends, her daddy, Mike Huckabee, was asked about all of this, and he pointed out that one of the reporters asking questions about this yesterday and saying that President Trump was indicating he's a racist when he mentioned Pocahontas. One of the reporters is with ABC. Well, by golly gee, you know who owns ABC? Disney, who's made a whole lot of money off of Pocahontas. Here's Mike Huckabee.
I think it's absurd that the press are trying to hammer the Trump administration and specifically the president on his use of the term Pocahontas. One of the people asking that question is employed by ABC, which owns Disney, or maybe Disney owns ABC. They've made $1 billion off the Pocahontas franchise. Let me ask you something. Is that racist? Have they made money off racism? Because if so, then they need to apologize and they need to discontinue all of their merchandise and all of their movies regarding Pocahontas. The bigger question, though, and I think Sarah alluded to this, Elizabeth Warren lied about her ancestry in order to advance her career. That is what ought to be outrageous to people. And why isn't the left upset about cultural appropriation? I mean, that's something we hear about all the time. You cannot culturally appropriate something. Well, that's what she's done. So I'm just waiting for a little consistency from the left. That would be kind of nice to see.
Consistency from the left.
I would just say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Sarah did such a great job responding to the press in that exchange and then listened to her dad. I mean, what can you say except to say that, you know, to be really clear, Elizabeth Warren claimed that she was Native American because she was trying to prove that Harvard University was diverse. And they were criticizing, they were being criticized for their lack of minority women. And she, I'm a Native American. Well, she's, you know, here's the deal, guys. Now, I may sound like I'm contradicting myself, but I have to tell you, I'm a blonde, blue-eyed Cherokee Indian, too. I actually have Cherokee Indian blood in my family. But you don't see me putting that on my resume. It's kind of like way down the food chain in terms of my lineage. And so she led with that in order to advance herself. And I think it's absolutely hilarious. I think it's perfect to call her Pocahontas.
Right. You know, just what you were talking about there, Sandy, reminds me of these DNA advertisements you see on TV. Is that what they are?
Oh, 23andMe and the others.
Ancestry.com.
Well, where you get the pie
right.
And you got, you know, your 1/5 this, 1/10 this, and 1/40 this. I think she was probably 0.3 Native American.
So people tried to actually trace her ancestry, and they came up with nothing. Now, if you traced mine, you'd find I actually do. There are names of some of my ancestors who are Cherokee Indians.
Okay.
I can't tell you right. My sister tracks all this stuff. I can't tell you, but I just know because of my family that there's Cherokee Indian blood. But I'm not, like I said, I'm not leading.
Okay.
That's why you hired me, right, Tim?
Right,
you
exactly,
hired me
Sandy.
Because I was a Cherokee Indian.
Yeah,
if you'd only known. Yeah.
That was the last question I had you when we interviewed you for the job, was do you have any Native American blood in you? Because we need to be consistent here and to be diverse. This reminds me that one of the funniest commercials I've seen the last couple of years is those two men, and they save all their money. It's a father-son, I think. They save all their money to travel to Norway or somewhere like that. Remember this? They go all the way to Norway, and they saved all their money, and they've been looking forward. They've been practicing because they think they're Norwegian.
Right.
And then they get over there, and they go to the courthouse or something like that, only to find that they're Swede. So they have to get on a boat and go over to Sweden. But they've been thinking all these years they were Norwegian. But anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Sandy, one more story we wanted to discuss with you. Walker, you want to talk about this?
Yeah, Sandy, you're familiar with what's going on with the Consumer, correct me if I'm wrong, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, they're
what do they do?
Well, that's a good question, and I guess Sandy might get into that. But their department head, I guess you could say, or their agency head, they're not even an agency. The bureau head was resigned and then appointed an interim head of the bureau. But then President Trump said, wait a minute, I'm going to pick who the interim chief is. So tell us a little bit about that, Sandy.
Well, interestingly enough, this ties to Pocahontas. Because, yeah, Elizabeth Warren, as we well know, is an anti-capitalist. We could say she likes communism. She just does. I don't know if she's, you know, registered, but she, along with President Obama, constructed this institution that was supposed to be implementing the Dodd-Frank Act. It's Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. But what happened was, look, I don't claim to be an expert, but I'll tell you what I do know. It sounds to me like, from what I'm reading, what they did was they arranged for themselves not to be funded by government. In other words, not by the Congress. They found their funding in the federal treasury, which meant that they didn't owe anybody anything. And they also, just as a matter of financial interest, they decorated their building. They spent like $50 million decorating their building over what it was actually worth. They were just a rogue organization that it sounds to me like when President Obama decided on the head of that bureau, the first head, it was Richard Cordray, he was so controversial, so far to the left, that he knew that the Congress would not confirm him. And so President Obama illegally put him in place. And later, the Senate had to come back and confirm him because the Senate, under Mitch McConnell's leadership, well, I know it's really a shock, but they didn't stop Richard Cordray. Richard Cordray had a terrible history, was a real leftist, and so they started doing a lot of bad things that hurt businesses. And because a lot of us are not business-minded, we're not large business, we don't keep track of all the details, these are things that we don't necessarily understand easily. But I've heard it described this way, that the Dodd-Frank Act, implemented by this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, was to the financial industry in the United States as the Obamacare was to our health care. It absolutely overtook and overpowered. And so then it set about fining millions of dollars of big businesses, while at the same time meeting with leftist organizations. And I think, I don't know, I have not read this yet, but my suspicion is that they funneled lots of money to leftist organizations like the SEIU. You know, the SEIU, you know, that's the union that's so radical. They're the ones that were purple and were beating up Tea Party and Trump supporters during the election. I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. It's out of control. And so Mick Mulvaney, who the president has appointed, spoke out loudly about it when he was a congressman. He said it's just out of control. It must be stopped.
Yeah, go ahead,
Brad. We have an audio cut of Mick Mulvaney yesterday speaking to this.
I read a couple of headlines said there were two folks who showed up today at work claiming to be director. I can assure you there was one person today who showed up at work claiming to be director. She wasn't here. She's a private citizen. She has the right to do what she did. I understand she brought the lawsuit in her private capacity. I assume she's paying for her own lawyers because the CFPB is not. The CFPB did not approve that lawsuit. So to the extent she's purporting to be acting in her role here, I think that's not accurate. If the law allowed this place not to exist, I'd sit down with the president and try and make the case that other agencies can probably do this job just as, or if not more, effectively. That being said, if I had the chance to change it, to put it on appropriations, and to subject to oversight to Congress, I'd do that as well. I have none of that flexibility as the director of this agency, of this bureau.
And what's so funny about this is the general counsel of the CFPB, this agency we're talking about, our bureau, their own general counsel, which is held over from the Obama administration, agrees with President Trump.
Yes.
She sent a memo out on November 25th saying that the president possesses the authority to designate an acting director for the bureau.
Well, the Justice Department did the same, Walker.
Right.
They've issued the same ruling. The problem is that this organization, the CFPB, was founded under the Dodd-Frank bill and had its own set of rules. And one of the rules was that the acting director had the right to appoint, or the appointed director had a right to, if he vacated, appoint an acting director. And that's contradictory to the constitutional foundations of a federal organization that comes under the purview of the executive branch. So that's the struggle. And now they're going to go to court. Now, see, here's the thing. As I said, this is a huge struggle. This is a very big deal. But most of us don't understand it like we do our health care. like our health care. We understand when the federal bureaucracy takes over our health care and controls what doctors we see, but because a lot of us are not in high finance or we're not necessarily thinking about numbers, we don't really comprehend what Dodd-Frank did to our economy and to capitalism, free market capitalism here in this country. This board, this bureau was founded to harm free market capitalism. And that's what Elizabeth Warren's all about. And she was, Pocahontas is one of the persons that founded this. So,
and in case there's any doubt, this organization, this agency is a Democrat political animal. 100% of the donations of the employees of this agency went to the Democratic Party last year. 100%. Not $1 from one employee went to a Republican. 100% of the donations went to Hillary Clinton.
Right?
So Sandy, it seems to me like we've got, you use the phrase rogue bureau here, answerable to no one. Is the ultimate solution here to get rid of this altogether and just start over again?
Yeah, I think you heard Mick Mulvaney say in that clip what we've heard him. He thinks it should be done away with. Whether that can, like he said, as the acting director, he has no power to do that. But he had some choice words for it when he was a congressman from South Carolina. So I think that, I don't know what's going to happen with that because I don't know what the president's financial guys think about it, what they really think about it, if there could be some use for it, if it were properly managed. I don't really understand it that well to respond to that, honestly. So I think we'll just see. But I think Mick Mulvaney just said in that clip, other agencies could do what they're doing. We could do away with this.
Hey, Sandy, finally, what are you going to be talking about tomorrow morning? Do you know yet?
You know what? I'm not sure yet. I've got a lot of different things. Whatever's in the news, Tim, I'm covering the Moore race very carefully. There's so much stuff coming out about Justice Moore's accusers that nobody's reporting. Fox is not, every time they report the story, they just repeat the accusations and they don't correct anything.
Right.
They may say at most that Judge Moore denies the accusations. That's about all they offer. But we're learning more and more. I don't know if you saw that there's a Vietnam captain who served as an MP with Justice Moore in Vietnam War, and he talked about Judge Moore's character before he came back to allegedly do all these bad things he's been accused of. He talked about they were taken to a brothel. Neither of them knew where they were going. Someone was taking them, and they walked inside, and when they realized what it was, he said that Captain Moore said, we cannot stay. We have to get out of here, and they both left. And he said that's the kind of character he had then. I can't imagine that, some few years hence, he's suddenly, coming on to young minor girls.
Yeah, another thing about that story with Judge Moore, Sandy, is we're talking about the 70s, okay? We're talking about 38 years ago. And you have accusations brought against a man 38 years later. How do you go back and disprove that, number one? Number two is, as I was talking with Ed yesterday, if a person has a sex problem, all right, are they a predator, as the word has been used against Judge Moore, then you know what? I think it's probably going to show up again. That's typically how that works. It's a psychological or spiritual, certainly, problem that manifests itself where people usually don't stop till they're caught doing something wrong, okay? So you're talking about a man can just turn it off if he had this sickness, if you will, for 38 years and doesn't have a blemish on his record since that time. Has been a happily married man with 5 children and a bunch of grandchildren. That's not how that typically works. Would you say that's true, Sandy?
Yeah, I think that's very insightful, Tim. And then that also sort of, you go back to his time in Vietnam. Now, when is a man most likely to act out sexually? I would say
right.
When he's young,
right,
and when he's away at war, when there was so
that's
much
a good point.
There was so much promiscuity. Ask any Vietnam vet, everything available at any time. And if he was walking the straight and narrow line when nobody knew who he
right.
was, he didn't know what he was going to be when he grew up, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If he did not color across the lines then, heavens, why would he come back to Alabama as the assistant DA and start being so reckless?
Yeah.
And we are learning more and more about these women who've made these accusations.
Right.
And I think the Moore campaign has just been very careful about not not completely attacking them. They've been very methodical in trying to research who these women are and why they're saying what they're saying. And so on my Facebook page, I've been posting all of this stuff as it's been coming out. I would encourage people to go to Sandy Rios in the Morning if you'd like some articles to sort of get into the weeds of the refutation of these accusations.
Sandy, S-A, with a Y, Rios, R-I-O-S, in the Morning Facebook page.
Yeah, either that or Pocahontas in the Morning. That'll work, too.
Okay, see you, Sandy.
Yeah, that's okay, good. Talk to you soon.
Pocahontas in the Morning.
In the Morning. I like it.
Ray, you're from Alabama.
Yes,
You've been following the story with Judge Moore. It's been bizarre. Go ahead. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I was looking at the polls last night, and it looks to me like we're going to have a nail biter coming down to the very end. You know, this fellow Doug Jones got a big bounce, right? But Roy Moore has fought back, has gotten a lot of people to come to his aid. And, you know, I think this whole thing that Gloria Allred, the woman that she put up,
yeah,
to me, that has completely collapsed, mm-hmm, and blown up in her face, mm-hmm, and has really called into question the efficacy or the truthfulness, the integrity of all the other accusers. Because here's the one that was supposed to have, you know, you parade her up there, and her story has completely fallen apart. So I think a lot of people are taking a second close look at this race. It's going to come down to the wire. I wouldn't be surprised, frankly, if Roy Moore pulls it out in the end.
Yeah, I agree, Ray. And the news media throughout the 2016 election, they completely have damaged their reputation. They've destroyed their reputation amongst, within the D.C. circle, the D.C. corridor, and California and New York, New York City. The media has a good influence, and people fear the media when they run negative stories on them. But outside of that, nobody cares. People in the country do not go to the Washington Post to figure out who they're going to vote for. Especially Republicans. So I think the Republican establishment, Mitch McConnell and his crew, the voters of Alabama do not go, for the most part, to Mitch McConnell to see who to vote for.
Different reasons. Mitch McConnell and the Republican establishment, they don't want Roy Moore. They don't care if he's a saint, you know, if he's been a monk.
Right, even without these accusations.
No, they don't want him because they hate his ideology. They hate his worldview. They don't like the fact that he's a conservative Christian.
Well, they spent $30 million trying to defeat him in the primary.
Yeah, right. And then he calls them out on things that violate the Constitution. So they don't like Roy Moore anyway. You know, so these accusations, that's why Mitch McConnell goes, "I believe the women." Remember when the accusations
on day one?
Yeah,
sure.
Even I don't know the women.
It was shameful, quite frankly, shameful. I don't think Mitch McConnell would apply that standard to anybody else. Mm-hmm. I would have had more respect for Senator McConnell had he come out and just said what I said. Listen, I don't want Roy Moore. I don't care what. I don't want Roy Moore up here representing the Republican Party. So whether he did or didn't do these things back in the 70s, I'm not going to say, because that's not the reason I'm against him. But instead, he and the Republican establishment, many of them, tried to hide behind these things, these accusations by these women, rather than stating the real reason why they oppose Judge Moore. But in a related story to what Walker was just talking about, you got something, Fred?
Yes. MSNBC's Joy Reid calls rural voters, quote, a core threat to our democracy. Now, what is she talking about?
Who is she now? She's a reporter or anchor?
She's an anchor at MSNBC.
I've never watched her newscast. MSNBC, now they have 7 or 8 or 12 viewers. How many they got, Fred?
It varies, 12 to 15 or so on any given night.
No, Rachel Maddow, that's her network. They do have some.
Occasionally she has pretty good ratings.
Yeah, they do have some viewers. Go ahead.
Joy Reid, and what's she saying there? She's basically saying that these folks who live between New York and California, New York State and California, they're a problem in this country. They are a problem because they have too much power. They're getting away in the agenda of where the majority of people live in these big cities on the West Coast and the East Coast. And so basically the problem is with the Electoral College. She says Electoral College gives these
people. The flyover people.
Yeah, the flyover people. Right. Gives them too much political power. So we really do have to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So, So but there she is.
She called it.
She's a minority.
Yeah.
She's an African-American woman, and she is calling down the minority rights of voters in the middle of the country. That's her statement.
Well,
it's amazing.
She did say declaring rural Americans, quote, the core threat to our democracy, end of quote.
Oh, my God.
Is this the same thing, Ray, as the Hillary Clinton's the basket of deplorables? Barack Obama saying, you know, these people cling to their guns and their Bibles and things like that.
The only difference is Joy Reid isn't as well known as Obama or Hillary Clinton. I think the importance of this is, I don't think she was speaking in hyperbole. You know, guys, I think she meant it. I think she really believes, and she speaks for a segment. I don't know how big it is, but I think it's a sizable segment on the left who would be glad to see. They're using the term rural Americans. What they mean is conservative voters, social conservative. She's talking about us.
Yeah.
And would be happier if all of us were gone from America. Well, she's right about one thing. We are doing our best to stand in the way of her agenda for this country.
Yeah.
But those people like her, they view people like us or the flyover people, not that they say there aren't conservatives in the big cities on the east and left coast, and there aren't liberals in the middle of the country. There are, but the vast majority of the middle of the country would be considered red state. Are conservative. These people believe, like her, what's her name again?
Joy Reid.
And President Obama, quite frankly, and Hillary Clinton, they believe that our values that are represented in the middle of the country, the conservative values, are illegitimate. Not that our views are illegitimate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's why you can say something like you know, that's a threat to democracy, because they don't view us as having any sense,
right,
or having any as I say, you use the word legitimacy to our positions on things. Mm-hmm. Theirs is the way, secular progressive left is the way of the world and the way of wisdom and the way of the future, and we're getting in the way.
That's right.
Of that. Now, I will say this, our country, and we got, I'm not going to give you a history lesson in a minute, in 1 minute, we only got a minute left here, but our founding fathers, they considered both population base, and they considered also that the smaller states needed representation, smaller states by population needed representation in the federal government as well. That way the bigger states couldn't just run roughshod,
right,
over the smaller states, and so we wouldn't. That's what they create. That's when they created this representative republic, our constitutional republic, rather than just a straight up democracy. If we had a straight up democracy, then we'd all be voting every day on everything, and 51% would decide everything. We don't have that. We have a representative form of government, a constitutional republic, and so you have the House of Representatives, which does. California has, dozens more representatives than my state of Mississippi, and it should, because it's much larger,
that's right,
population-wise. Mm-hmm. But now in the Senate, it's equal, and that's the way our founders intended it to be,
right,
two from each state, so that the smaller states would not be run by the bigger states. And so I think Miss Joy Reid needs to go back to school, probably, and study the founders again and the constitutional process and the wisdom of what they created, and quit saying basically New York and L.A. should run the country, and the rest of these yahoos need to, I don't know what she thinks we need to
just
do.
Pay the taxes and shut up.
Right.
We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.